deserve it. You deserve it.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
You're listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
Just paraphrase this. Another decree has been put out for the annihilation of the Jews. And it's at this particular time that Esther is queen. And Esther has a choice. She can either help or she can turn her back on her people. But Esther decides that I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to trust God, even to the point to where if I perish, I'm still going to serve him. It gets down to the point in Esther to where because of this time of consecration, this time of fasting, to where a decision is made. And Esther takes it upon herself to represent God regardless. When she represents God, her nation is spared. Here's the question. Where was God when the decree was put out that all of Israel would be destroyed? God was there. Where was God when they were frantically saying, God, are you going to allow us to be destroyed? He was there then too. But also God was there when Esther made the decision that she and her maids would fast and that the nation of Israel would fast. And then God changed the edict, or rather rescued them, that they didn't have to get killed according to the edict. God was there in every aspect. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 45 through 51. How could a loving God allow his holy son to be crucified? I want you to look at this with me. In Matthew 27, verse 45 through 51, we find a partial part of the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus in his carnal nature is crying out, God, where are you? By him saying, God, why have you forsaken me? He's saying, God, where are you in the midst of this? Have you ever asked God, where are you, Lord? I can't see you. I can't feel you. Let me know that you're there. I want you to know that you're in good company. Even Jesus cried out, God, where are you? You've forsaken me. Can I tell you this morning that God did not forsake us? Whether it be through choices we made or it be through situations from other people's choices, God was right there. And listen, we're still here today. We are here today standing, amen, delivered, still here today, still able to give God the praise and the glory. Why? Because he was Jehovah Shammah. He was there. Verse 47 says, when some of those standing there heard this, they said, he is calling Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Tell somebody God is there. Now he's about to show that he was there. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. God was there. The bodies of many holy people who had been dead were raised to life. God was there. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Let me tell you, God was there. Even though Jesus said yes to the will of the Lord and he was crucified, these signs show that God was there in the midst of it. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. It pleased Jesus to submit to his Father. And scripture even says it pleased God to crucify his Son. Because in his Son's crucifixion was our deliverance. Sometimes in our trial that we go through is God's glorification. We shouldn't despise trials. The trying of our faith produces patience. And in patience, we develop maturity. Many times it's a child that when they go through a trial, they throw a tantrum. But a mature child of God, son or daughter of God, we have to say, God, even the trial, thank you for your grace, and I give you the praise because I know that you are there. There were strategic moments in my life where I know God was there. I remember being a small child, about the age of 7 or 8. I'm in Mobile, Alabama, walking down a street called Jarrett Road. My cousin, who was a teenager, he told me, well, you better leave them blackberries alone. It's going to be a snake over there. So me being hard-headed, I didn't pay him no mind. I went on picking blackberries. But sooner or later, I walked up on a snake that was curled up very high, and I put my foot inside of the snake's coil. So now I'm paused looking afraid. And here's my cousin, who I love today. That's my connection with him, no matter what. He's old enough to be my uncle, but he's my cousin. Without being afraid, he went and grabbed his little cousin, pulled me up out of the snake's coil, and ran me to the other side of the street. Saved or unsaved, I knew God was there. Now, I don't know what kind of snake it was, but when he big, it don't matter. Because what stopped that snake from striking me? I fought many snakes since then. I had a snake. I was in the 8th grade. I remember having my book bag coming out of my back door of my house. Amen. And I had a shovel. That was a little snake. He rose up to strike. And thank God I hit him as soon as he struck. What stopped this big old snake from biting my leg? God was there. There are strategic times in our life, whether we know it or not, no matter how you feel, it could have been worse. But God was there. He didn't allow it to be worse because he allowed a memory to take place that he can get glory from it. To where you could say it was bad, but it didn't take me out. God must have been there. He was Jehovah Shammah on the scene. Not only that, but at 16 years old, I can remember my daddy bought a brand new truck. Some of y'all heard this before. And my dad didn't really believe in new cars. He'd get an old car and take care of it forever. an old truck, fixed it up to the tires fell off of it. But he decided to buy a new truck. And he let his 16-year-old son drive the truck. Here I am, driving down Sage Avenue. Amen. I only had one brother here from Mobile. He gone, but he better relate if he was here this morning. And I'm driving down Sage Avenue, and a lady comes in, and I'm headed straight. I'm in the turning lane, and she hits me head on. She couldn't see when she was coming out of the place she was coming from, and I'm driving down the turning lane. Head-on collision. Back then, if they had a seatbelt law, I don't remember it, and I was rebellious anyway, so I didn't wear mine. But I remember the Spirit of the Lord. This is the first time I remember him speaking to me. He said, roll onto the floor. It was very clear. Roll onto the floor. So while this thing is happening in slow motion, I just remember balling up and rolling onto the floor. Both vehicles collided. The truck was totaled, undrivable. The lady's vehicle was destroyed. She actually was injured. Got out of the vehicle, unscratched. All I do is think about God was there. He was there. He was there. And even stronger than that, my dad wasn't even upset. I didn't hear nothing about it. My dad was known to harp on small things, but big things, no big deal. Amen. I can remember at 18 years old, living a backslidden life in the military. Anybody ever been backslidden? Anybody know what backslidden means? For those that don't, let me explain. That means you've accepted Christ as your Savior, but through your own volition, you decide to go back out there and live an unsaved life. So I was 16 years old. This was after the accident, I believe. Gotten saved at 16. That's a whole nother story. I remember having double pneumonia or whatever it was at 16 that caused me to yield to God. When I was in that bed sick, say what you want. I just know for me, when I was sick in that bed, it allowed me. See, sometimes God will allow the enemy to do things, and he'll utilize him to draw you closer to him. Because had I not been sick, I can't say if I would have chose God at that point or not. But because I was sick and we didn't know what was wrong, I laid in my aunt's bed and she began to minister the gospel to me. And I received Christ at 16 years old. But after doing that, here I am now, 18, the military, and I'm backslidden. I'm in a city called Bogalusa, Louisiana. Some of y'all may be able to identify. In Bogalusa, I'm there with some unsaved fellas doing unsaved things. Anybody ever been with unsaved people doing unsaved things? Can I preach? In a hotel room with somebody I didn't know. Is that all right this morning? Having a mindset of fornication. But don't you know God was there? He had the hotel owner to come knock on the door to stop me before I did this fornicative act. Y'all don't hear me yet. I had fornicated multiple times before. Nobody ever knocked on the door. Some of y'all woke down. You was asleep when I was in the Word. But he knocked on the door. And I want you to know, now that I'm saved, living for God, I know he was there. This woman was a stranger. I could have had HIV right now. I don't know what he stopped me from catching. All I know is the owner came and knocked on the door. God was there. Sometimes God will bring stuff back to your remembrance and say, you remember this? I thank God I didn't go through with that sin. Though I had done it before. But at this particular time, I thank God for a knock at the door. But the testimony don't even stop there. Some of y'all heard this before. When I left the hotel room, it was two dudes that knew.